Before we get into this, I want to remind you of our idea to support mothers and children for Christmas at Bowles Home. And I would like you to be thinking about that, if you're willing to do that with some real money. Okay, the idea being that we will pick, actually Bowles Home would pick a mother and a child, or a mother and two children, or two mothers and single children, and we would support them completely for their Christmas gift at Bowles Home. Now Bowles Home has got a rule that they limit each child to $225, and each mother too, in the mother and child program. But they are going to give them, make sure everybody gets $225, and you can see why that would be. They don't want one child, you know, getting a Barbie doll and the other one getting a yo-yo for Christmas, kind of a thing. So our goal then is to get as much, to support as many multiples of $225 as we can, not only with money, but with gifts from a gift list for the child. Okay, their rule is you give a gift card to the mother, and children 10 and under, you give them presents from their list, and then if they're over, you give them a gift card. So you all be thinking about that, what you're really willing to support support with, and are you willing to come up with some money, and we need to make a decision in the next week or so how much we're going to support. And I think this would be a good work. And the other kind of... I hate to use the word selfish, but I will, is we want the mother and the child to understand that there's a congregation that cares about them, okay, and also that it's Pecan Grove, okay? So we think that's not a selfish thing. We think that's a good thing. So you all be thinking about that before we get into our lesson. Has everybody got 540 out? Okay, good. Last time we did singing on Wednesday night, and if y'all are not coming to that, you're missing something pretty good. Somebody, I think it was Laura, but I won't say it was, asked for this song. Was it you, Laura? Are you guilty? Now she's nodding her head. She's guilty. Okay. And we don't sing this song too much around here, but when we sang this song, I realized two things. Well, and a number of things. The first thing was I cannot remember a time when I did not know this song. I can remember the music and the volume in the church I grew up with had about 700, 750 people in service on Sunday, and we sang this song. And this, you know, and it had been a good while since we sang the song here, and it really meant something to me. And a lot of those emotions which come with music and with the words came back. Okay, they came back. The second thing I realized is I had completely misinterpreted this song my whole life. Okay. Right. So now I got to tell you, I don't do that anymore. So you can trust what I say from now on. You know, I'm not. This is something I did back when I was a teenager. Okay. Completely misinterpreted the song. Now I did not real bad. I mean, but I kind of got that wrong. So here we go. Am I on? I'm not even getting a thing. Hit me with a thing. I'm not even getting a... There we go. Okay. All right. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief and pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste in here. You'll notice I got some commas in there that aren't in your book. The hallowed bliss, I'm an eternal home. Faith, belief, fidelity, loyalty to a person to whom one is bound. That seems to be the etymological meaning of the English term faith. Okay. You can imagine a servant being faithful to a master, a subject being faithful to his king. Okay? You can imagine that. Trust, confidence. Okay? This is what we're talking about when it says, oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Faith's the fruit of the Spirit. It's also a gift of the Spirit. We sometimes kind of have a little hard time understanding how it could be both. Okay? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that word, that word believe is the verb form of the word faith that we haven't got a word for in the English language. We don't say, I faith you. We might say, I have faith, okay? And then Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. First thing I learned, I realized I had completely wrong, is it's not talking about getting smaller, okay? Shrinking is not talking about getting smaller. Now, it's talking about, let me just go back here. Faith that gets smaller never was that big. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? It's not like a balloon. Have you ever seen these balloons that they go up to high altitude in? And when they let them go here, they're kind of small. Because when they get up to higher altitude, there's less pressure, temperature and everything, and they're going to get bigger, and they have to make the balloon itself big enough to hold that pressure, not here, but up at 100,000 feet or whatever. Faith's not like that. Okay. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay. If you've got a pound of faith when times are good and times turn into bad and you end up with an ounce of faith, you didn't have a pound of faith. Okay. You had something else. You believed you were somewhere when you're not. The measurement of the size of your faith is not when things are good. It's when things are bad. And if you lose your faith completely, well, you can see the implication. So shrink doesn't mean to get smaller. It means to withdraw in danger and in fear. You know, you can read about battles where when the battle was over, one side had won and the other side just kind of shrunk away and a lot of people deserted. It's kind of that idea. That's not what we want in a faith. We don't want a faith that won't stand. That when time gets tough, it goes. So I learned that. Okay. I also learned that this is a prayer. I don't know why. I just kind of thought it was an extolation of what faith is. And it's not. It's the songwriter, and we're going to sing this, so you've got to remember. And you, when you sing it, praying to God, not about the faith you've got right now, but about the faith you want to have. Now that says something. Because if you're praying for more faith, it means that you are not at a ton of faith, you're at a pound of faith. You understand what I'm saying? I want more. Okay? If I pray for more money, it means I don't have all the money in the world. Okay? And so I realize that this song is basically saying, God, add to my faith. Build my faith up. Make my faith stronger so when all the things that are mentioned in the song happens, my faith lasts, endures, continues. Okay. The song isn't about saving faith. Now, this doesn't mean there's not saving faith. It's about something after saving faith. Okay? Something after saving faith. It's about a faith that exists in our lives when our lives are good and when our lives are bad, when things are going well and things are not, which get us through the day, get us through the week, get us through the month, year, get us through the lifetime, and get us through eternity. I just always kind of thought it was talking about eternity. Okay. When we pray this prayer, we admit we don't have the strong faith we want. And you know, honesty is the best policy, and that's probably true, isn't it? Okay. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, that will not fall away, that will last. And a faith that is in this world as much as it is in the next world. Now, a saving faith gets us to heaven, doesn't it? But this faith gets us through the day. Okay. Now, this is kind of where I missed it, and there's, okay. In here. Your books don't have this comma. Evidently the originals did. I don't know why they took them out of these two commas. And so we read, Lord, give us such a faith as this that we've talked about in this, I'll call it a poem, okay? And then whate'er may come will taste in. Anybody know what in is that apostrophe for, what they left out? Even here, the hallowed of eternal home. So it's a faith that in this world teaches us something about what it's going to be like to be in heaven. It's a faith that right here and now allows us to experience the benefits of eternal salvation. And you ask yourselves, how? And we got to say, we don't know yet because we're still praying for this faith. Okay, you see what I'm going to? Did anybody notice the title of this lesson? In Praise of a Little Faith? Okay. The last thing we want to do is sing this song and say, man, I can't do this stuff. This is tough stuff, and quit. Okay? Because guess what? At some time in their life, everybody here today started with a little faith. Otherwise, this song wouldn't resonate so much with us. We wouldn't realize what we need to build in our lives, what we need for the Lord to build in our lives, what we need to pray for, that so that our little faith can become a faith like that. But the worst thing to do, you know, it's how many people have taught a kid to ride a bicycle? Okay, all right. Okay, we don't have saints in the Church of Christ, but that's about as close as you can come to. It's just a terrible thing for most of them. They think they can't do it, right? They get on, they fall down, they quit one time. Okay, and we have to teach them that you can ride a bicycle. Okay, well, you're not born riding bicycles. Okay, but so you're not born with this kind of faith, but when you're born again, you're born with the beginning of this kind of faith. So it's a praise of a little faith. Don't beat yourself up. Okay? Don't beat yourself up. Don't quit. Don't say it's too hard. Don't say I'm not getting back on that bicycle. Okay? Don't say any of these things. Okay? Because we pray this prayer to get where we want to be, not where we are. O ye of little faith. When you hear that, you know who said this. Does anybody know who said this and said it more than once? Jesus. And if you is when you heard this, would you have been happy for Jesus to have said it to you, or would you kind of say, "I'm really glad that he said it to somebody else"? It seems to be, when we talk about it, a negative thing, isn't it? Doesn't it? Okay. But if God closes the grass of the field, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount with his disciples around him and the rest of the people down a ways away. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Okay. I have this point, but I'm not going there. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he rebuked the winds and the sea. That's, remember, he was asleep in the boat. And the storm comes up. Have you ever been in a little boat, a boat that's too small for the storm? If you're not afraid, you're kind of crazy. Okay? Oh, well, the waves are washing over the boat. I believe I'll just stay out here. Where's my fishing pole? What do? We try to get into port, or we call for somebody to help us, or we at least put on our life jacket if we're smart, don't we? So Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And when Peter, I'm giving you a hint here, saw the wind, he was afraid. You may know when this is? When Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter said, "Let me come out to you." And Jesus led him, and it worked for a while, and then he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out and took him hold of his hand, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And are you beginning to see a couple of things? One, who's being called ye of little faith? No, not us. The disciples, the apostles, the 12. Okay? They're the ones being called ye of little faith. And I got to guess that any of us would be happy to be compared to them in faithfulness, wouldn't we? Okay? Peter just walked on water. How many of us are willing to try that? This summer we went to Lake Norris in Tennessee, and it's not really a mountain lake, but it's not like our Texas lake. You go out about 10 feet and you're in 30 feet of water, and you go about 20 feet and you're in 60 feet of water. And I did not try to walk on the water, okay? We made our kids, when they swam, wear life jackets. I don't know what we thought the difference was between 60 and 10 feet of water, but it's just scary. Okay, it's just scarier. I don't know. You know, it's something irrational. You know, we did. But Peter walked on it. Oh, ye of little faith. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Anybody remember when this is? They tried to cast out a demon. It wouldn't work, and Jesus had to do it. And he said to them, "Because of your little faith." Now, I just want you to think a minute here. They came up with a guy and they couldn't cast out his demon, which tells us that they had been casting out some demons. Oh, ye of little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And we read this, but we really don't believe it, because we've never seen a mountain move. I've been to Mount St. Helens, and part of it moved, but as near as I can tell, it wasn't done by this agency. It was by volcanism. But anyway, we like this mustard seed thing, and we go from the fact that it's a little seed to a big tree. I guess, Ruthie, it must be different mustard than we have, because our mustard is about this big. But anyway, I think we forget how little the seed is. The story doesn't make any sense without a little seed. Little faith. You cast out some demons. Okay, so you're kind of on the road here. Okay, but you've still got a little faith now, but that little faith can grow into what? A mustard tree. Okay, a mustard tree. I'm going to use cedar tree, and that's completely wrong, but that's what I picture the size. Okay, it can grow into a big tree, and nothing will be impossible to you. The little faith, okay, the little faith was the beginning. It was on the road. Sometimes in our lives, well, let me do this one first. This is Luke's telling of the story. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree." We can believe that a little more because we see that. "Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Increase our faith. And that's kind of where we are here. Okay? That's kind of where we are. We like to make fun of the apostles for being, "Oh, ye of little faith." But it worked for them, didn't it? Okay. It moved them in the direction that they needed to go. Except for one, they didn't leave. Okay. And my guess is there were times when they didn't have stuff to eat. There were certainly times when they just slept out rough. Okay. You know, beside the road. Okay? Times when people took care of them. But they stayed. They had enough faith in Jesus to stay with him. And so this tells me something that I missed in this psalm. Okay? That this is not about the only faith that there is. You know? This is about the faith that there can be. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. We can imagine why this is important. Okay? We can imagine why we want to get there. But we can also say to ourselves, it's probably a little bit okay to be a little bit scared. Okay? Peter got scared. Okay? Evidently more than once. But it worked out. His faith grew. I think we would say Peter ended up one of the most faithful Christians there ever was. Okay? So it's okay. Don't beat yourself up if you don't understand everything. Okay? Let there be light. Let's talk about our understanding of that process. Well, I don't see any hands. Anybody wants to explain it? We can't explain it, can we? We don't know how God did it, do we? We're not even sure what it looked like. But we can have faith in it. But we don't have to understand everything about it. Okay? You know, we talk about the Trinity. It seems to be, I don't know why it's come back in fashion. Okay? If you read the history of the Trinity and the Nicene Council and everything, you come to find out that none of them really agreed about it. Okay? They just came up with what we would call a compromise position. No, not really compromise, but compromise among the majority. Okay? Because nobody understands it. Okay? Nobody understands how Christ can be God and a man. If you do, let's go over, you know, let's do it down at the cellular level. Okay? Let's explain these things. We can't do it. Okay? We can't do it. But just because we can't understand it doesn't mean we can't, I'm not going to say believe it. We can't have faith in it. We can't have trust in it. We can't have fidelity to it. We cannot, it doesn't mean we can't follow it like we would follow someone who was our master or our boss or our leader. How many times at work, how many times in politics, how many times in our families have we said, you know, I just really don't get this, but I'm just going to do it. Okay? You husbands, if you haven't learned that, you need to learn it. Okay? Sometimes you just do it. Okay? Sometimes you just go out and mow the lawn or whatever it is. Okay? That is as much a part of faith as believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? And so, here we go. That will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. We talked about Job last Wednesday, just real shortly. We studied Job 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. Job didn't get much satisfaction in the book of Job. Okay. You know, the first time you read the book of Job, you think, oh, this is, I'm going to get all the answers here. And you don't get any of them. And you come away frustrated. But you do find one thing in Job. When he didn't have the answers, when he didn't understand why this was happening to him, he turned to God. He didn't turn to his three friends, his four friends. He didn't turn to his wife. He didn't turn to sorrow for the children he had lost. He didn't turn to trying to make back the money and the wealthy, the earthly goods that he had lost. He turned to God. And that tells us something about the faith that we want to have. Okay. Now, something else we learned about Job is he was not real happy with God. Okay? He wasn't real happy with God, but he turned to him. Just like sometimes we're not happy with our bosses. Sometimes we're not happy with our spouses. Sometimes we're not happy with our children, but we don't turn away from them. We turn to them. That is real faith, real fidelity. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempest rages without, when in darkness shows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. How many of you go outside when it's dark? And if you live in the city, I'm sorry, this doesn't count. Y'all are never dark, okay, without a flashlight. We carry a flashlight or a lantern or something. Or, you know, I've got some of these big floodlights on the corner of my house, and I turn them on. I don't go out there when it's dark. There's snakes. I killed 2 snakes in my front yard this year. Okay? No, sorry, 1 this year and 1 last year. Okay? I don't do it. But in the darkness with Christ, I need to be able to do it, even if I can't do it right now. I need to be moving in that direction. And you ask yourself, before we go to the last verse in the end, how do I do this? Okay? Well, the first thing is, remember what the apostles asked Jesus? Give us more faith. This song is a good way to do it. We're asking the Lord to give us more faith. Generally speaking, we're asking him to give it to us miraculously, instantaneously, without any of the sorrow or going through all the stuff in our faith lasting, and that does not seem to be the way the Lord works most of the time. You'll have to take it up with him in heaven, okay? But we're asking him to help us with it, to give us more faith. So we're asking him so that our lives, and however you want to describe them, can be described as a process which increases our faith, which makes us not shrink, not sorrow, not give up, not despair. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whatever may come, this is kind of the payoff here, we'll taste in here, even here, the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Maybe you have never wondered, well, what if we just die and that's it? My guess is that some of you have. Okay, the proof that you can have, the proof that you can have that that's not it is right here. Give me this faith, and then I'll know what life after death is like. Have you ever seen a person who had no realization, didn't worry about the transition from this life to the next? I grew up with these people. Okay, I don't seem to see it as commonly as I do now, but that it was just another life. Okay, just another step, like moving the house or changing a city or any of the things that we do commonly in life. And I have to believe that one of the reasons that they had this feeling, this view, this world view, this universal view, I haven't got a big enough adjective here, okay, this grand view is because they were working on a faith like this. Okay? So that life in this world reflects, demonstrates, echoes life in the next. We're going to sing this song. Okay? And I'm going to invite you not to sing if you've already got this faith. Okay. I'm also going to invite you not to sing. If I'm running your song, Becky, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it anyway. I also invite you not to sing if you don't want this faith. Because the last thing you want to do with a prayer is pray insincerely. Okay. So there's a little bit of danger in this song. Okay. There's a little bit of danger, but there is a great reward. Don't be afraid of the little faith, but sing the song. A faith that will not shrink, though threatened by every foe, that will not
that will not murmur or complain beneath the chain.